Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We're with Sir Croakington. And it is time to test out what happens in the random encounters in Talonus. Where we'll also, where it just happens that the next part of the post-Mad Saga is. But we'll be ignoring that for now. Random encounter here. You're about to have a random encounter in or about the city of Talonus. Good luck, Sir Croakington. See to a random encounter. For several hours, you move about the city, taking in the sights and sounds of the kingdom's bustling capital. You observe many interesting things during the wandering, but nothing that would merit any sort of mention here. Another one? And that's nothing message. Nothing message. Nothing message. You're passing through a thick glade in the woods east of the city, when suddenly a long, thorny vine slivers out of the undergrowth and wraps itself around your leg. You grasp in horror as you realise you've been snared by a death vine. You valiantly struggle to slay the thick, sinewy tendril as it slowly drags you along the forest floor towards its flesh-eating core. Begin combat. Now look, I dealt with the evil plants in Rachna's man, you're nothing to me. The tendril's sharp thorns cut into your flesh, as they do, and it is slain for 5 XP. You pause to rest for a few moments for your victory, for once again setting off on your way. When do we encounter? Nothing. 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 Another death find. Oh, now I'm in the woods east of the city. It seems like it's a little bit randomised. Just going to quick combat that. 4 XP this time. Looks like the MRs varies a little bit as well. As you move through the bustling city thoroughfare, you suddenly spot a lone figure through the crowd who appears to be carefully watching you. The figure is that of a man, tall and lanky, his face hidden, in a shadow cast by the wide brim of a weather-worn hat perched on his head. Without warning, the mysterious individual slips into a throng of passers-by and disappears from sight. There's that guy again. Deathvine Tendril. I'm just going to keep exploring randomly. I might have already encountered the things you can actually encounter here. I'm not sure. There's nothing to say unlocked if you do. And the adventurer log has been retired. Okay, I'm just going to keep doing this. I might have already uncovered the. Because there's two events that can happen. Mini adventures, I guess. There's a Deathvine Tendril. There's not nearly as much stuff here as there is in Twithic. I mean, it seems to be one random encounter and two nothing messages. I'll just keep clicking. think it may well be before when he saw this stuff. I just don't know. Random encounter, random encounter, random encounter, random encounter. It's the Leather Hat Man. Leather Hat Man. Nothing message. I don't know if there's anything new to find here. Because these things, it gives you no clue, this. Whether you've actually uncovered everything. Hat guy again. Nothing message, nothing message. Nothing message, nothing message, nothing message. Keep going, keep going, keep going. All right. That guy. Nothing message. I sort of hope there'd be more going on here. But another death vine tendril. Smash that. Nothing message. 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 Nothing that merits mention here. Wide brim hat guy. You know, I'm starting to think I might have actually encountered everything here before. I'm gonna have to check something. Oh, and yeah, I have checked. Turns out I encountered pretty much everything here I was thinking of encountering a year ago. But I'm gonna keep it. So no more random encounters, because talentless random encounters, very threadbare. And honestly, there's not really much need for adding more to them. But, I mean, if we had several people adding them, it'd be fine, but we don't. So we got to prioritize on things people are actually going to see. So I just got to let it slide here. Okay, I'm going to explore the city a bit and see if anything actually turns up. Okay, looks like I have found something. All right, I've went to the realm of... which realm it is. Kolorthanor. And I was just clicking through everything here, and it turns out I've accidentally missed a substantial adventure. Such are the benefits of just clicking everything. Yuria, who's the weapon weaponsmith, looks up for work and smiles as you enter. Your arrival in our realm has not been a moment too soon, Sir Grogington, she says, her voice laden with worry. Recapturing the Standing Stone Jewel was no small feat, but we must again call upon your skill and bravery. Our very survival depends upon it. Yilu explains that this morning, the early scout patrol returned from an excursion at the edge of the woods outside the protected border of Shadow Edge with strange tidings. They discovered the entrance of a cave not far to the south, and outside of it they found a metal helmet and a mace that was formerly wielded by Bandrir, the town's armorsmith. Bandrir went missing from the forge where he lived and worked just that much last night, she explains. As an armorsmith, his skill is unmatched. We allow his talents to outfit our citizen army with the protections they need. Its forge sits at the edge of the dark wood that borders Black Shadow's Edge, just inside the projected boundary of the Standing Stones. Yulia produces a dented metal helmet and a mace and lays the items on the table in front of her. These belong to Bandrir, she says solemnly. Of that, there can be no doubt. It's believed that whatever fate befell him, The answer must lie in the cave outside, which these items were discovered. It's imperative that, should he yet live, he be rescued and returned to us. Barandur is a dear friend to Azar, was all, and without his armour, crafting skills, it does not bode well for our defences. You had explained to you the location of the cave, outside which Barad-dûr's helmet and mace were discovered. In her voice you can detect a grave sense of grave urgency. Our fate that whatever Barad-dûr's fate proves to be, his best hope of survival lies with you, Sir Grokingen, she says. You tell her you will do your best to see that Barad-dûr, if he yet lives, is returned safely. Yelena wishes you luck as you leave her smithy. Fortunately, even though I was away from this place for years, they didn't actually make any move until recently. Because, honestly, this whole thing could have been utterly destroyed in the time I just left it. But that's not how things work in most video games. Things just sit around and wait for you to turn up. Because, honestly, it's more fun that way. Otherwise, you spend your entire time being stressed. Stressed about, oh, am I missing a more fun thing elsewhere? No, it'll wait for you to come. Okay. Shadow Edge lies in the realm of Kalonthalar. It is a town engaged in a daily battle for survival against the unrelenting tide of vile and treacherous enemies that pressures borders. A high wall surrounds the town, and a watchtower next to the main gate offers a wide view of the dangerous lands that border the last surviving Fëanorian refuge. Okay, what is Fëanorian? Fëanorians. This race of grey-skinned humans with jet-black, pupilless eyes inhabits the shadowy never realm of Kalorthanor. The Florians are all that remains of a vast population that faithfully served Pauk, the great warrior spirit, the glorious realm of his creation. Upon the sudden and unexpected departure of their master, however, the realm of Kalorthanor fell into decay and ruin, as vast hordes of wicked creatures from the depths of the Nevelus invaded it. The Fëanorians, determined to wait for the arrival of the true disciple of their master, defend their last remaining refuge, the town of Shadow Edge, for an ever-increasing tide of evil that assails its borders. Okay, there's more links here. Kalorthanor. The broken, shadowy realm of Kalorthanor has long been the proving grounds for the disciples of Pauk. Once home to the great warrior spirit, this realm has long since fallen into decay, following the departure of its master. It is now home to a nightmarish legion of foul creatures from the vast depths of the Nevelus. It's not known why Pauk abandoned the realm he created, and long protected. Indeed, only a small number of the great warrior spirit's loyal subjects remain in the shadowy Neville realm. These subjects, known as the Fëanorians, are a race of grey-skinned humans who faithfully served Pauk during his reign over Kalorthanor. Unable to leave the realm to which they're bound, the Fëanorians, whose jet-black eyes bear no pupils, are engaged in a constant battle for survival amidst the legions of evil that stalk the former realm of their master. The town of Shadow Edge, at the centre of Kalorthanor, is the last remaining Fëanorian outpost in the realm. Protected by the magic of three ancient standing stones in the perimeter, which I helped restore in a previous adventure many, many years ago. As far as I'm concerned, as far as they're concerned, it was a week or so or something. The town survives against the unrelenting, merciless tide of evil that seeks its destruction. Okay, let's look on Pauk. Pauk, the great warrior spirit. Known as the Great Warrior Spirit, scholars and sages have long debated the existence and nature of Pauk, who some believe to be a lesser god that serves Sithak, the Allfather. The most popular accounts of Pauk place the Great Warrior Spirit as the wrath of the Allfather, a powerful, omnipotent being that carries out the wrath of the all-powerful god. Although not worshipped directly by any large group, many warriors will wear charms or bear arms and equipment that has been inscribed with Pauk's symbol. A clenched fist raised skyward. Pauk's prayer is often uttered by warriors before entering battle and is spoken as follows. Under the eyes of the Allfather, may the great warrior spirit grant me swift and just victory. Through my shield be cloven and my body pierced. May my spirit endure, as I shall prevail. Okay, that's enough of that. A collection of grey stone buildings make up the interior. The interior of the town. Those streets lie empty, save for the frequent patrols of its well-armed and highly trained citizenry. No sun shines across tunnels and arm, but a thin greyish light seeps through the perpetual ceiling of clouds, illuminating the once glorious realm of Pauk. Journey to the forest cave in search of Balandur. And no one's been here but me in a long, long while, which kind of makes sense. There's only about 3 adventures here. So you go here, you do your adventures, and then you leave forever. Which is probably not what they expect from a true disciple, but that's just how it is. I guess sometimes you pop back. Journey to the forest cave. Far beyond the border of Shadow Edge, just inside the forest, you discover the cage outside which Barrandur's things were discovered. You stare into the inky blackness of the cave mouth, wondering if somewhere in the depths of that dark place, you discover the fate of the armor smith. Enter the cave. You need a light source, but that's a given now. Previously in the game, you would have to, you know, do something to get that, but not anymore. You're just given an adventurer's lantern for free, presumably because it makes everything a lot easier if you can just assume you have a lantern, you use it. You use it whenever it is narratively sensible for you to use it. Enter the cave. Light pours in from the cave mouth to the north. I'm in the northwest corner of this little maze. Start by going south. Every step echoes ominously as you move through this twisting, subterranean labyrinth. Right, going south. There are signs of recent struggle here. Small patches of dried blood adorn one of the walls. The broken haft of an axe lies on the floor. Alright, is this Balandur or someone else? Alright, there's a question mark coming up. The cave passage continues east and west from here, but due north, your eyes are drawn to a massive stone door. The door has no handle or obvious means of opening. Directly in its centre, you notice a small keyhole. If you believe you possess an item capable of opening the door, you may use it now. Or I could just, you know, get by in another way. Pick the lock, use telekinesis, level 20. Or use destruction. Attempt to summon your power of destruction and focus it on the massive stone door. Attempt to channel it now. Succeeded. 4 XP to destruction. A sharp splintering sound fills the passage. as a wide crack forms across the breadth of the stone door. Suddenly, the entire massive slab disintegrates into a cloud of dust. You throw a hand over your mouth and nose and close your eyes as you wait for the choking cloud to dissipate. Okay, and now there's a passage to the north that goes deeper into the cave. I could go east, but nothing happens there. The cave passage continues to west of here, and to the north a broad opening leads into a wide passage. The massive stone door that once blocked the passage to the north is no longer an impassable obstacle, because I blew it up with magic. You suddenly halt and steel yourself for battle, but something looms out of the shadows at the edge of your light. It's a large tuskwog. What is that? The hideous tuskwog. It's an abomination out of the depths of the Neverness, and can be found across a myriad of Neverwhere realms. The tuskwog is a humanoid amphibious creature from the with the torso, head, and limbs of a large frog. From either side of Tuskwog's mouth produce some massive tusks, which gives them not only a fearsome appearance, but also a deadly gnawing weapon. Perhaps the Tuskwog's most feared weapon is its barbed tongue, which can shoot from its mouth to a distance nearing 10 feet. The Tuskwog uses its tongue as an effective weapon during combat. They commonly employ spears and staves as weapons as well. Perhaps when fighting something that tastes gross. Generally speaking, these creatures stand 5 feet tall at the shoulder and have slight builds. They're able to climb all manner of surfaces with ease, and can cling to and move across walls and ceilings without difficulty. The Tuskwogs are silent creatures, and they communicate with each other telepathically. They're cunning and warlike, and do not tolerate the presence of other sentient species. There have been rumoured sightings of these foul creatures slinking about the world of Swith, but as of yet, these have not been substantiated. Now, I wonder, how would they get along with the Wogglers, who are also frog? Anyway, apparently there's no sort of inter-amphibian solidarity, so fight to the death. The large Tuskwog tries to gore you with its tusks, and is slain. 2 XP and a trinket worth 4 gold. Thankful to have survived such a brutal encounter, you check over your equipment and prepare to once again set off through the cave. Alright, keep going and eat a bit. 3 Tuskwogs. Now just going to quick combat those. 2 XP. Alright, now east from the entrance. And then west, and then roving into an alcove to the north. The sound of several sets of webbed feet striking the floor sends your pulse racing. You watch in horror as a large group of Tuskwog drop from the ceiling to surround you. 9 pairs of black, bulbous eyes stare silently at you in the dark. Foul amphibians cautiously close in around you, each one wielding a stone-tipped wooden spear. This is a Tuskwog warrior, and I shall begin combat with it. The Tuskwogs stab at you with their stone-tipped spears. Let us slay.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number? Oh.
Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
21 XP and Hauk approves, because I just got a wooden icon, which kind of makes sense because I am fighting to save his people. Although I doubt there's anything in the game that gives you a slight boost to chances if you're fighting Carl Thur. It happens sometimes. And some loot as well. A foul stench rises from the pile of carnage at your feet. You step back and cautiously survey the scene, wary of the possibility of another brutal Togwog ambush. When you're certain you're no longer in immediate danger, you pause to rest for a few moments before once again setting off on your way. Okay, so we're in the middle of this dungeon now, making my way to the northeast corner. You suddenly halt and steer yourself for battle as something looms out of the shadows of the edge of your light. It's a massive Tuskwog. It gores you with its tusks and is slain. 2 XP. Terrible loot. Right, and a bit northwest, southwest of that, of the northeast corner, is another question mark. A stone lever protrudes from the east wall of this alcove. You examine the lever and note it may be moved into one of three positions. It's currently in the middle, move it to the top. Although not certain, you think you can hear the distant sound of stone grating on stone. Step out of the alcove. What has that done? I do not know yet. This is a luck. You suddenly halt and steer yourself for battle, and something looms out of the shadows at the edge of your light. It's a large Tuskwog. And this is slain. Okay, and just finishing in the corner of the map, that was west of the northeast corner. Right, and there's a question mark on the east side. You reach a dead end and are about to turn around and retrace your steps when a Tuskwog clad in hide armor steps into view. A solitary stone key hangs for a wing attached to its belt. That key would probably help with that door that I just blew up. So I'm going to kill you to get that key, even though I don't have to. Well, maybe I could flee from here at once. The menacing creature raises a stone-tipped spear and stalks towards you menacingly. Flee from here at once. You suddenly halt and see yourself for battle. It's another massive Tuskwog. Just not the one I was just running from, a different one. 2 XP. Yeah, if you flee, you just go back. There's no message to the Tuskwog. The Tuskwog leaps forward, stabbing at you with its stone-tipped spear. The bulbous black eyes of the horrid creature are ablaze with murderous intent. Tuskwog warrior, begin combat. The Tuskwog stabs at you with his stone-tipped spear. And just slain. 10 XP. The Tusk Squad collapses to the cave floor, its grotesque form twitching violently as death takes it and grips it. Attached to the crude boat encircles its waist, you know, stone key dangling from the metal wing. I'll just take that. Confident you've not overlooked anything. Eager to proceed with the mission, you once again set off through the cave. You tuck this stone key from the tusk of the quartz of a tusk rock. I wasn't surprised it wasn't an auto pickup. I mean, it's zero encumbrance, so there's really no reason not to. I'm guessing that's because this is an old adventure, and it wasn't just changed. And it wasn't just overdone to make it an auto pickup. Because there is some things which weren't auto pickups, which were made into auto pickups. Like the Horntail Horn. That adventure you have start off in Hawklaw, you go to Talonus, and you're dealing illegal items accidentally for a tiny, tiny amount of gold, which was more at the time. I remember when I first did that myself, I forgot to pick up the item. And so I ended up in a lot of fights. Because everyone thought I was just hiding it from them. But in fact, it's just hanging out in a stable in Hawklaw. And has also disappeared from existence. Because things stop existing when you don't pay attention to them. That's just how it is sometimes. Confident you have not overlooked anything, and eager to proceed with your mission, you once again set off through the cave. Okay, now back to that door. Okay, one little gap to fill in. Nope, nothing there. Right, back to that door I blew up. Through it. Keep going. West of the door, east of the door. Your sudden appearance out of the gloom seems to catch the two guards by surprise. As they fumble to brandish their spears and quickly launch an attack, it's two Tuskwogs. The Tuskwog's barbed tongue shoots out and wraps around your throat for 4 damage. Not my throat, I need that! For various reasons. Like putting cake in. 10 XP. He paused for several moments following your victory, listening intently for any sound that might indicate the approach of any further Tuskwogs. When you're certainly in no immediate danger, although as an adventure, you're always in a more long-term adventure, you once again prepare to set off on your way. Okay, east a bit, south here something. 2 Tuskwogs drop into the passage in front of you. Bulbous black eyes peering at you from out of the gloom. Each of the hideous creatures wields a stone-tipped spear, which they thrust at you coolly as they advance. It's a Tuskwog, begin combat. The Tuskwogs stab at you with their stone-tipped spears. And a slain. 10 XP. 4 gold. 6. Gurgling sound rises from the last of the fallen Tuskwogs as its body quivers before becoming still. You peer into the gloom ahead as you prepare to once again set off on your way. Right, east a bit. In the deep gloom, you nearly walk straight into 2 spear-wielding Tuskwogs standing guard at the entrance. The silent creatures react swiftly. Entering combat stances as they thrust their weapons to you. Tuskwogs begin combat. And I go into a battle wave. Look, I've had enough of fighting you. Amphibians, aren't we? Can we just get along? Probably not. It's just slang. 10 XP. You step over the bodies of the fallen Tuskwogs and prepare to continue along the passage. Alright, and south. Passage you've been following ends abruptly. at a half-rotted thick timber door. You can hear what sounds like a faint moan, coupled with ragged, rasping breaths coming from the other side. The door is fitted with only a simple iron latch, as it doesn't appear to be locked. I'm guessing they thought that the previous lock was enough, and all these guards. Have the power of divination and wish to use it? I do, and I will. 4 XP to divination. You sense there are two beings behind the door. One of them, you feel, is badly injured and close to death, while the other is aware of your arrival and waiting to ambush you when you open the door. Forewarned by your power of divination, you situate yourself in the most advantageous spot you can and forcefully open the door, revealing a tall Tuskwok standing just on the other side, its stone-tipped spear poised to run you through. The foul creature, its face devoid of emotion, or perhaps showing lots of emotion that I have no idea how to read, steps into the passage and moves forward to attack. It's a Tuskwok. It's angry, because I'm taking the prisoner. It's just the tongue thing. And it is slight. 6 XP. And terrible loot. 3 gold. The Tuskwok emits a sleep-croaking sound and collapses to the floor of the cave. It's thick. Black blood oozing out of its open wounds. You step over the corpse of your fallen foe. You cautiously enter the small chamber beyond the wooden door. Slumped against the left wall of this small chamber is a broad-shouldered Thanorian male. His face and upper torso bear many cuts and scrapes, and his eyes are nearly swollen shut. He raises his head warily as you enter. A faint smile momentarily replaces the anguish that dominates his demeanour. "You are welcome, sight, disciple," he says, his voice wavering. "I have little strength left. That which remains at my disposal, I can gladly fly in flight from this forsaken hole." Elated that you have discovered Balindur alive, now considering how none of them seem to be wearing armour. Okay, well, the only one who's wearing armour is just wearing hide armour. So, you definitely understand why they'd want to just steal an armour. And also, of course, it weakens the town of Shadowledge. So, win-win, except Balindur, who loses a lot. Win-win for them, lose-lose for everyone else. Elated that you have discovered Balindur alive, you move over to examine his wounds and prepare him for the trek out of the cave. As you approach the armorsmith, his eyes open wide and motions over your shoulders to the right. You turn around to face the most unwelcome sight. Sinister silhouettes of 4 Tuskwogs stand just inside the doorway behind you. They have crept up from behind, and you are now cornered in a small chamber. I'm surprised any survived. Well, I guess they're probably walking on the ceiling or something. I didn't notice them. They've crept and now cornered in a small chamber. You tell Balindur to remain where he is, as you square off against the 4 foul spear-wielding creatures. The largest of the creatures steps forward, and he's surprised to note that its eyes are silver, unlike the pure black orbs that protrude from the oversized eye sockets of his kin. The silver-eyed Tuskwog sighs forward, brandishing his stone-tipped spear. "Take care of that one," Sparador. "With that one. His tongue drips with venom. So, I can use gating to get out of this quickly, but admittedly, that would just leave that alive to sneak up on me at who knows when. Or I could just attack it. Chop off that tongue, or something like that. Attack the silver-eyed Tuskwog. Pungent yellow ooze drips from the wide mouth of the silver-eyed Tuskwog. You assume a combat-ready stance, remaining wary of the venomous tongue about which Barrandir warned you as the silver-eyed Tuskwog begin combat. The Tuskwog attacks you viciously. The Tuskwog's barbed tongue shoots out and wraps around your throat. You feel the sting of its powerful venom as it eats into your flesh and does 6 damage. Keep going and slain. 18 XP, terrible loot, 4 gold. The silver-eyed Tuskwog collapses to the cave floor, its venom-coated tongue hanging from the side of its shattered maw. You step forward, almost challenging the 3 remaining Tuskwogs to attack. But to your surprise, they melt into the shadows and disappear from sight. Yeah, okay. Now you don't bother Shadow Edge, okay? Because otherwise I will get you. And I will chop out your own tongues and strangle you with them. Wasting no time to move over to Barrandir. You grow yourself bigger so Barrandir can ride on top of you. He's badly injured. But he tells you that he's strong enough to make it out of the cave with your assistance. The trek out of the cave proceeds without incident. And you are thankful when at last you reach the cave mouth without having encountered any further Tuskwogs. I guess any that are alive, are still alive, know not to mess with me. Feeling that victory is at last within reach, and not hoping not to have to confront any further Tuskwogs, you stagger out of the cave, bearing the weight of Barrandir into the pale light of the forest. 256 experience to general. You are met with a hero's welcome upon your return to Shadowreach. And Barrandir is carried off at once so his wounds may be tended to. With Barrandir returned to us, the future seems less bleak indeed, says Carnan Thwink, as you speak with him in the meeting house. The Falorian leader congratulates you on the success of your mission, and tells you he's afraid your work as a disciple of Pelk in this realm is far from complete. There is much to be done, says Quim. And while I work out the details of another mission that will require your undertaking, it would be good of you to pay a visit to Memor in the Watchtower. She and her scouts would no doubt value the assistance of our master disciple. He bid Quim farewell and step out of the meeting house. Okay. Now I know there's a few more things to do here. Does the weaponsmith have anything to say? Screech with a smile as you enter the smithy and writes about the back of her hand. Yula expresses to you her gratitude for having rescued Barrandir and returned him safely to Shadow Edge. She produces an intricately carved piece of metal and hands it to you. As you study what appears to be a piece of a cloven shield, she explains to you its significance. You learn that the piece you hold is the 3rd of a powerful magical shield known to the Fenorians as Doomwall. She tells you that it was the shield of another disciple long ago, and was twice cloven during his final battle, where he was felled by an undead troll lord, Gorthmar. If you should encounter the other 2 pieces of the shield, Barrandir, should we ask to repair it for you? She says. Good luck, Sir Crokington. You can carry our hopes with you. I have a piece of the Doom. This is one of the 3 pieces of the legendary magical shield known as Doom. Anything else going on here? The weaponsmith is a woman known as Yida. She greets you with a smile as you enter the smith and wipes her brow with the back of her hand. What is it you seek, she asks. I have to speak with her first. Yulia smiles as you begin conversing with her. General conversation. He conversed with Yelia for a few minutes before she has to move away, attend to a pressing task. "We're certainly blessed to have a disciple work amongst us again," she says. "I'm certain you should deliver this well from the blight that now afflicts it." "Speak with you again, never all icons." "Such pieces are the creation of the great warrior spirit himself," says Yura. "You can fit them onto specially crafted weapons and pieces of armour, to grant those items many wonderful enchantments. I have such weapons here that I have crafted. But if you seek armour, you will need to find Barondir, the armour. That's Yura about Barondir. Yulia tells you the town's master armourer, a man by the name of Barondir, operates an ancient forge located outside the town wall at the edge of the wood. He will not leave his forge, even to seek the protection of our walls, says Yulia. Perhaps he feels safe enough with the magic of the standing stones. He is a master armoursmith, and without him we would be indeed ill-equipped to battle the enemy that confronts us. Ask about imbuable weapons. Ah, the weapons of a true disciple of the great warrior spirit, says Yulia. There is but one place in all Calorthanor that you may rely upon finding the weapons that bear the icons that Pak has seen fit to bestow upon his disciple. You must seek out the brothers Quag, Zedok, Wakefin. Only in their mystical fraud are such items crafted. Yura warns you the brother's forge lies outside the bounds of Shadow Edge, and anyone planning to journey to it must understand the danger of such a trek. It's a lonely, desolate stretch that lies between our town and the forge, he cautions. There are things that roam this world that are better left to us, Nightmare. When you're finished, you leave the smithy. So that's another option I can take. Visiting the forge of the Brothers Quag. Surprised there's no way to just, you know, meet up with Barondir, but presumably he's too busy making equipment for the citizen militia of this town to bother making equipment for me that I won't even use. Alright. Wait, ship up again. Leave the smithy. Okay. We're now close to 45 minutes. So, in the next episode, we'll journey to the forge of the Brothers Quag. Find out about imbuable weapons and armor, which are a thing that used to be interesting, but now has been rendered quite redundant by power creep. And then go to the meeting house. There's some stuff in the watchtower. You can do stuff there. And then an actual formal adventure will be unlocked. So I think there's enough stuff left in Shadow Edge for one more adventure. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Wow.
What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You?
The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.